Hey, it's Nola White, and this is the Nola White Podcast. Now, I'm a firm believer that too many young people place too much of an emphasis on getting married and starting a family by a certain age. So my guest today is John Kim, a.k.a. the Angry Therapist, who's the author of Single on Purpose, a book that promotes enjoying being single and getting to know yourself before you get into a serious relationship. And if I haven't said anything to make you want to continue listening yet, he also named a chapter in his book, Now Go Fuck Somebody. Hopefully that did the trick. Welcome to the Nola White Podcast.
Polo Gini.
Live. Yeah.
This is not live. It's completely recorded.
Broadcasting from one of the top recording studios in all of Nashville, Tennessee.
Yeah, that's not true at all. I'm probably at home doing this.
He's been called one of the greatest thinkers of his time.
Literally no one has ever called me that. I do kind of agree with it, though.
Right here. A 2017 recipient of the Nobel Peace Prize.
That's just a flat out lie.
Talking politics, community, race, religion, entertainment, sports, and whatever the fuck else.
Yeah.
It's the Nola White Podcast.
Episode 6 now of the Nola White Podcast. My guest today, the angry therapist, John Kim, author of I Used to Be a Miserable Fuck and Now Single on Purpose. Welcome in.
Thank you for having me.
First thing I want to talk about is just the title of the book, Single on Purpose. It says a lot just in the title with three words, which you don't see much. That spoke to me because I feel like a lot of young people now, I'm 42 years old and been married for 5 years now, but I feel like a lot of young people spend a lot of their younger years just looking for a relationship when they could be finding themselves and just really having a good time. So speak on that for a second.
Yeah. I think that because of society and movies and, you know, romantic comedies and this whole idea of happily ever after, we've been programmed to find love as fast as we can. And if we're not finding love, something's wrong with us. Right. So I think singlehood has been vilified, and I think it's time to give singlehood a cape. You know, when you're single, the soil for growth is the richest. It's not when you're in a relationship, because when you're in a relationship, it's not about you.
Right. In this book, you talked a lot about yourself and kind of, you know, bore your soul a little bit here in your own journey. When did this all click for you?
And it didn't click. It was hard, right? So for me, I went through a divorce at age 35. I was broke. I was lonely. I had no sense of self or where I was going. And for a stretch about 4 years, I had to find myself. I had to build a better relationship with me. And it wasn't sexy. You know, it wasn't like it's portrayed in the movies where you're going to Italy and having exotic affairs. And, you know, and you know, for some people, it may be that's great. For me, I bought a motorcycle. So it was a Harley. Spending a lot of time by myself. I found CrossFit and barbells and then donuts, man. And by donuts, I don't mean eating 12 at a time. I just mean, you know, treating yourself to things that you feel you deserve. So whether that is a donut or an afternoon off or a motorcycle or whatever. So I found myself in the city of Los Angeles.
That's dope. And I always tell people when talking about my relationship with my wife is that I met my wife when I was 34 years old. I was DJing a lot of clubs at a time, doing radio. Probably in my earlier years, I was looking for that relationship, but I hit 30. I started making a little money and I started enjoying being single for the first time probably in my entire life. And I always tell my wife, like, I was on my way to being a sugar daddy. I just bought like this beautiful bachelor pad. You know what I mean? I was going to be a sugar daddy and that was going to be my thing. And I had accepted it and I was ready to move on in my future as a sugar daddy. And then she came along and ruined it all. So the joke I always tell her. But my point,
that's hilarious.
I say that to say, but my point is like, it didn't happen for me until I was just like, all right, I'm just going to be this and be happy with this and find happiness within myself. And I think that's what your book is all about.
Yeah.
Here, right?
Yeah. And you know what? It's what makes you the most attractive, right? You're not attractive when you're looking and you're desperate and you're trying to find love. You're attractive when you're doing your own thing. And you're, like you said, you know, you're building your empire and you wanted to be single. And I could totally relate to that, you know? So I have a girlfriend now, we've been together for about 3 years, but before I met her, I was like, you know what? I want to do everything, because I've only been in relationships except for that long stretch. So I was like, I want to do everything that I wasn't supposed to do. I want to have threesomes and I want to wake up with someone I don't like. I want to have a one night stand and I want to do drugs. Like, I wanted to do all that. And then of course, I met someone and then none of that happened. But, you know, the point though, is you never know when you're going to meet someone. So the ticking clock isn't that you're getting older. The ticking clock is before you meet someone, start working on yourself, start doing things that matter to you, you know, build the life. So you bring your life to the relationship instead of using the relationship as your life.
Right. And one thing about your book is if you just look over the chapter titles, they will engage you. And you have one that I just felt before I even read a word of the chapter, I just, it was Now Go Fuck Somebody is the name that you have. And I think society in a way shames us for having sexual desires. And it's a natural thing, like wanting to eat or needing water, you know what I mean? Like,
And that's why I wrote that. And I know that that title might be a little bit jarring. I don't mean to go on, you know, Craigslist casual encounters and end up in someone's trunk. I don't mean to go fuck someone like that. I'm saying if you feel good about yourself, this is my attempt to help with slut shaming, you know?
Yeah.
There's nothing, we're sexual beings. And if you want to have sex and you do it in a healthy way, in a way that's honest to you, then go do it. Don't think that you can't because that you should or should not, you know?
To me, it's the same thing as food. If you eat the wrong foods, bad things are going to happen to your body. You have to eat a little bit safely and you have to practice sexual intercourse safely.
Yeah.
But you need to do it. It's something that is absolutely just a basic need of being a human being. And we should
agree.
The shame around sex in our society, I think.
Especially for women, you know?
And I'm raising a daughter now and I'm trying to, she's only three. So, you know, nothing to worry about, you know, having those talks right now, but I do pay attention to a lot of pages on Instagram, like sex positive families and stuff like that. How am I going to handle this when she gets older? One thing about your book, I want to open it up here and make sure I get this right. You put the disclaimer as like the first thing. It says, this is not an anti-relationship book. This is a pro-relationship, in parentheses, with yourself book.
Yes. Because I don't want people to think, because it doesn't say single forever. You know what I'm saying? I don't want people to think that you should be single for the rest of your life. That's, you know, we're not meant to do life alone. We're supposed to love and we're supposed to be with other people and share our hearts. But while you're single, instead of just looking for someone else or swiping, build a better relationship with you. You know, that's what it's about.
I think we also, like, whenever we are single and we meet new people, we always think, like, where is this going to end up? Like, that, I think that's probably a natural thought, but maybe not a healthy one, right? Like, why does this have to go somewhere? Why can't we be living in the moment and enjoying each other's company right now?
Yeah, let go of the promise. We put too much weight on the promise, right? It's like, in 3 months from now, 3 years from now, do I see myself, you know, married or all? It's like, just be present. Enjoy the self-discovery, get to know each other, you know? I think we skip that step and we just want this whole promise
of something that doesn't make us. And one of the points of the book was to make yourself whole without a relationship. Like, a relationship doesn't make you whole, you yourself make you whole.
Yeah. And I think whole is a bike that we pedal forever, right? So it's not like, oh, I am whole now, I'm done. No, it's something that you have to work on, because your relationship with yourself is like your relationship with anyone else. It has to be completely watered and it fluctuates. And, you know, sometimes it's hard to like yourself, sometimes it's easy. But if you don't do this, if you don't do this kind of work, then when you come to a relationship, what are you bringing to the table? You know, you're not bringing a whole person. Yeah, you're bringing someone who is probably seeking validation, approval, maybe who is afraid, and possibly what you're going to do is you're going to create the same experiences that were lopsided or unhealthy, and you're basically living in a time machine, right?
What do you think, whether it's a relationship with yourself or relationship, a past relationship that you've been in, what do you think, what can you point to say, my biggest mistake was this, and this is not something I would repeat?
Oh, so many mistakes. My biggest mistake would be not making an effort to take ownership. One of the things that I encourage people to do is try to understand before trying to be understood. And I spent most of my 20s in relationships just trying to be understood instead of trying to understand, right? So if you're not taking ownership, you're not building trust, you're not evolving, you're not growing, you're just, you know, blaming, judging. You're flipping the magnet is what you're doing.
Yeah. If there's one, I'll say, mantra that you live by now, what would that be?
Oh, I live by many. The recent one is the reminder that every part of your story will be used. You know, I myself, and like many people, are busy ripping out chapters, you know, things that have happened to us, lying with shame. A lot of people want to rip out 2020, and that's fair, right? But I believe in things that are bigger, and I believe that every part of your story will be used in some way. And your story is the most valuable thing you will ever own. So whatever you're going through, whatever you've been through, know that it may be a seed planted. Know that there's something that's going to come out of that if you're willing to kind of look at it and review it and see what the lesson is.
It's really hard to see that while you're in the moment, right? Like my last episode actually was about anxiety, and it's something that I suffer from. I'm an anxious person, but there's always good in everything. And this is a point that I brought up in my last podcast, was that because I'm anxious, I'm always punctual. Because I'm anxious, like, things always got done. I was scared for them not to, but seeing beauty in those kind of what many perceive negative things in your life is tough sometimes, and especially when you're in it, you know?
Yeah. And I think it was Steve Jobs that said you can't connect the dots unless you're looking back. So you're right. When you're in the trenches, it's very hard to see that. But when you come out the other side and you look back, you're like, oh, that's why I went through, you know, a divorce, or that's why I met that person, or that's why I went through that pain.
All right. I want to go over some of the names of the chapters here. Cause I mean, they just, it's really great. I love what you did here. My pussy knows things. Give us a brief synopsis of that.
It's not my vagina. It's a story of someone else. Right. My pussy don't know shit, but it's a connection to body story. A lot of the stories in this book is about my clients and their singlehood journey. So that's a story about a woman who made some choices based on what she felt down there, and you know, some of her revelations.
Okay. Then you have, let me find it. I know I had to do it. My first mushroom experience.
Oh, yeah. Never done mushrooms, heard a lot about it. So when I was single, me and a group of guys went to a Joshua tree, and I had a really funny, interesting mushroom experience that didn't match the stories that I heard about. So,
yeah, I took mushrooms one time when I was in college, and I don't think I took enough, because all I got was a headache. And then I had a poster of the Notorious Big on the wall, and lightning kept hitting it. It freaked me out a little bit. So I just got a walk, and that was it. Like nothing else happened. So I never tried them again. But anyway, let's move on to the book here. I know on the front cover, it says no more swiping, no more dick pics, no more being catfished, ghosted, or believing that we have less value because we are single. Talk in depth about that a little bit.
Yeah, I just think we live in a toxic swipe culture today. Dating is dead. We've become baseball cards, right? I'm 47. I'm older than you, but I grew up where you had to walk up to someone and have the courage to ask them out. You know, you had to get their phone number and actually had to call them and start a conversation. Now it's like people are swiping while their date's in the restroom. You know, so we become very disposable. We are used to instant gratification. We're hide behind our phones, and it doesn't teach us how to connect with humans, you know? And so we become numbers, we become profiles. And on top of that, so much false advertising, you know, the filters and all of that shit. So I don't know how you're supposed to build a sustainable relationship and have a good time dating with the landscape today.
What advice do you give for people out there dating today in this kind of world?
Use a very small spoon when it comes to dating apps. And what I mean by small spoon is, you know, when you go to the ice cream store and they give you that little red spoon to taste things, right? Don't get a huge sundae and feel sick to your stomach on Tinder. Just swipe when you feel good about yourself, and, you know, use dating apps for 10 minutes or so. We created our own dating app called Twirl, where you actually have to show yourself. There's no filters. We're using video now. And also, when you're dating, don't put all your life chips on finding love. Like, dating can mean hanging out with your boys riding motorcycles, right? Dating can mean doing a workout, hiking, doing things outside of the house. So getting outside the house, outside of your head, not putting life on pause, right? Like, live your life. And then if you happen to find someone, great, but don't turn your life into the pursuit of finding someone.
Do you think with all these apps and all these different places you can meet people now, do you think that that adds stress to single people today? Like, they spend hours on Tinder like that?
All these dating apps should have a timer where you could only use it for, like, no, seriously, it should be like the Surgeon General and shit. It should be like illegal to you, or there should be something that says it's a danger to your health, hazardous to your health, if you're on this shit for 3 hours, maybe 30, 40 minutes, you know, and doing it when you feel good about yourself, because, you know, people not swiping on you, people not returning you, people ghosting, all that affects your self-esteem. I feel sorry for all the kids growing up today because of trolling and all the stuff that's happening where, and yes, it is just the internet, but these are real people and it still hurts, you know?
Yeah. I mean, you're a public figure. Like, I'm sure you get negative comments sometimes and you got to read that shit and be like, and let it, you know, roll off your shoulders. And sometimes that's not easy to do.
No, it affects me. Absolutely.
Yeah. I actually met my wife on Instagram, believe it or not.
Wow. Well, but here's what I love about Instagram. And I think Instagram is a better dating app than other, the swipe apps, because you get to actually see their feed and you get to see consistency and you could say, okay, this is a gorgeous picture, but this one here isn't that gorgeous. Maybe there's someone in between, you know, like it's not just polished false advertising. You could also read things. You could also see videos. So I think with something like Instagram, you're seeing more of a three-dimensional, right? And I know you went through her feed. I know you went through all the way.
Yeah, I've never been on Tinder because I met my wife before there was a Tinder. And,
right. You know,
the whole point of it, from what I understand, is just dating. Do they show you on the inside of the app, like you've been swiped X amount of times today or anything like that? Because I feel like that could.
Oh, that's horrible.
Self-esteem a little bit,
man,
right?
Man, that would fuck with my mind. Yeah. If you've been swiped on 100 times and only one person said yes, that's, I mean, how do you take that? That's really tough. I hope that's not the case. I haven't been on it in many years, but it keeps evolving and there's all these features. But that's, I don't like that idea.
If you could recommend some place for people to meet, like if you're single and you're like, you know what, I'm good with myself. I want to meet somebody. Do you recommend it just happening organically, or do you think people have to be up trying to make it happen?
No, I think you should put effort, right? You're not just sitting on your couch crossing your fingers. You got to be active about it. I think communities, right? So fitness communities, yoga, hiking, like whatever you're into, art communities, dance. If you get involved in communities, you're already putting your passion or whatever you're into above meeting someone. And then if you happen to find someone there, you guys already have that common interest, right? And so I think that's a better way to meet someone than, okay, we're both looking for love, you know, using that as the bridge instead of the activity.
Real quick, your first book was I Used to Be a Miserable Fuck. So I know we talked about Single on Purpose and about dating, but just give us a brief synopsis of I Used to Be a Miserable Fuck.
Thank you for saying fuck. I've been on shows all morning and I get it. A lot of people can't say fuck. So they'll say, you know, your other book, I Used to Be a Miserable Duck. And I'm like, did I write a children's book about a little duck that's not happy? That came from me in my 20s being angry and miserable because I was chasing shiny things. I had no sense of self. I was very hollow. I was a screenwriter who couldn't turn it into a living. I had a little success with it, but it wasn't making me happy anymore. So I went back to school, became a therapist. And so it was also the story of going from a child to a man, a boy to a man, right? Crossing that great divide. So I Used to Be a Miserable Fuck is a true story about me being miserable to being a lot less miserable these days.
I hope you find happiness in there at some point, right? Like,
yeah. And I think, you know, the word happy, I don't like the word happy. Because it sounds like a bumper sticker, you know? But I like joy. I like meaning. I like engagement. I like this idea of building a life, you know?
There you have it. Single on Purpose is the book. It is out right now, correct?
Yep, it is out and it's wide.
Yeah, it's a great read, especially, you know, if you're young and single. It's a great reminder to fucking enjoy yourself, man. Stop with the bullshit about having to be in a relationship to be happy.
Because
takes it all.
Thank you for helping me create this dialogue. I appreciate it.
Hey, man, John Kim, thank you. They can follow you on Instagram as well at The Angry Therapist.
Yep.
Thank you.
Awesome. Be well.
This episode of the podcast is brought to you by my guy, William Wilson of the Hammonds Group. Now, last week, I probably spoke too much about my friendship with Will and how we used to get drunk as shit together and probably failed to mention how great of a realtor he actually is. So let me do that now. He's a really great realtor. the end. Call them today, 615-216-4809 for all of your buying and selling needs here in the state of Tennessee. Holla at my guy, my actual friend, William Wilson of the Hammonds Group, 615-216-4809. Tell him Dolla White told you to call. I want to thank my guest, John Kim, a.k.a. The Angry Therapist. Seriously, go get his book, Single on Purpose, a great read. Don't forget to follow me on Instagram or Twitter, at Dolla White 101, DOLEWITE 101. And make sure you subscribe to this podcast. New episode coming out next week. I'm out.